Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Stefan Molyneux from Freedomain. Great questions from listeners. Facebook, freedomain.locals.com, subscribestar.com/freedomain. Hope you'll check out the show and support the show. Larkin Rose opinion. I found his YouTube and it got me thinking why that guy's views aren't higher. Around 100K views on best videos. It also seems that the ideas of liberty are spreading and the world actually starts to accept Bitcoin. Do we have a change? Maybe the part that is still missing is the curing of the childhood, but his ideas are correct in essence. Yeah, I mean, my understanding is Larkin Rose is he tried to do the no paying of taxes thing, had a whole thing presentation prepared, and was not even allowed to make his case, and was jailed, and all kinds of terrible stuff. Which is not great when you have a kid, in my humble opinion. Smart guy, creative guy, and passionate guy, and like railing against the powers that be doesn't mean much if nobody notices that you exist and nothing really changes, right? Then it's just shouting into the wind in the middle of nowhere. I'm not saying that about him in particular, just in general. There's sort of an insight that happens, right? There's an insight that happens when you pursue self-knowledge. And the insight is this. Who's done me the most evil, right? Who's done me the most evil? And in my experience, it was people in my personal life when I was a child. They sort of done me the most evil. And that's the most evil that you can do the most about. You know, you can go against those who do evil against children, and you're actually making progress. You're making strides. And I don't know Mr. Rose's opinion of child abuse and evildoers regarding children. I don't know. But you actually want to, because I come out of a very empirical tradition philosophically, and also because I have been an entrepreneur for over 30 years, results are all that matter. Plans are fine. You can have the best marketing plan in the world, but the question is, are you actually making progress? There's just a spreadsheet reality to being an entrepreneur. You have to make the numbers. It doesn't matter what you project. It doesn't matter what you imagine. It doesn't matter what you think. You actually have to make the numbers. You actually have to sell goods. You have to move products. You actually have to make payroll. And with that empiricism comes if I'm going to dedicate my life to promoting virtue and fighting evil, then I have to have something measurable at some point, don't I? I have to have something measurable. Well, I produced a bunch of articles about the evils of foreign aid and the central banking. It's like, okay, that's great. But the production of articles is like the production of business plans. It doesn't actually change the movement of one particular thing. Well, you know, I'm spreading awareness. I'm this. Okay, well, when I was in marketing, that was all the fallback, right? So I've been director of technology, chief technical officer, and director of marketing. So director of marketing, it's always a fallback position, right? You spend, $500,000 on a marketing campaign and it doesn't move any product. So then what do you say? No, I'm raising awareness of the brand. You know, you simply move it from the column of something that's measurable to something that's not measurable. I'm raising awareness. I'm positioning the brand. I'm, you know, whatever, right? But if you are, in a sense, selling the promotion of virtue and the thwarting of evildoers, then at some point, shouldn't you be able to measure that? Shouldn't you be able to? I went through the whole metrics, like, I have, through this show, reduced 1 billion to 1.5 billion instances of violations of the non-aggression principle. At least 1 billion to 1.5 billion violations of the non-aggression principle have been directly changed or prevented by this show. So I have something measurable, as opposed to, well, I've been talking about the evils of the military-industrial economy. Okay, what's changed? What have you actually done? What have you actually achieved? So I'm a measurable guy. You can't manage what you can't measure. So all the libertarians who, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It's like, okay, what specifically have you done to promote virtue and thwart evil? Not like raising awareness or general this, like that's all just nonsense. I used to literally laugh at people who would try and tell me that they'd give me a specific goal, you know, give me X amount of dollars and I'll produce X, Y, and Z. And then I'd agree with them. And then when they'd come back and they'd say, well, I didn't achieve X, Y, and Z in any tangible way, which is kind of what I promised. But what I did do was I I raised awareness and I positioned and I promoted. And it's like, okay, how's any of that measurable? And yeah, anyway. Why is usury still not outlawed? So usury, of course, is the lending of money for interest, which occurs because the present is better than the future, because the present is guaranteed, the future is not, right? So we want money in the here and now rather than money later, because we know that we're going to be here now, but we don't know if we're going to be here next year. And we're mortal, right? So if you want to start a business, you need someone to invest in your business, and they're going to need a return. So usury is the lending of money for interest because the present is more valuable than the future. And it would not be outlawed because it's not a violation of the non-aggression principle to lend someone money for interest, right? All right. How have you been? I have lost track of you for a bit. You really had an impact on my trajectory in peaceful parenting, philosophy, and your video of, quote, forgiving your mom. Yeah, it's interesting. So the people who lost track of me, people who kind of vanished when I was deplatformed. Well, Bitcoin has gone up 400 or 500% since I was deplatformed. So I'm sorry that it cost you so much money to not follow me, but what can I do? What can I do? All right. Hi, Steph. You've done so many call-in shows, and in my opinion, the greatest at shining a spotlight on a person's free will, often doing so with patience, kindness, empathy, and sympathy. As appropriate, do you have any advice or insights about how or if it is possible to achieve this when feeling disgusted or repulsed by what you're hearing or seeing? Some context. I've recently become more vocal about discussing my standards and morals with people following years of mostly self-censorship and observed disgust, and in the odd extreme case, feeling repulsed to the point I'm looking for physical conversational exits to end it. These are people usually sharing sad, at times difficult and challenging stories slash things in their lives, but they neither want to hold themselves nor the people they are complaining about accountable. Am I being too judgmental? Yeah, judgmental is just one of these words that is invented by people who don't want to be judged, right? And judgmental is often weaponized. It's a weaponized term. So people who say, don't be judgmental, are judging you for being judgmental, like it's a self-detonating argument. I judge that you shouldn't judge. I judge it negative that you're judging. So you shouldn't judge, but that's a judgment. Judgmental itself is a self-detonating statement because it's judging you. And generally, it's people, like everybody wants to have the weapon when the other person doesn't, right? Everybody wants to have the weapon and the other person is disarmed, right? Governments want that. Criminals want that. I should be the only one with the weapon. And it happens in terms of debate as well. So, you know, racism, bad, except for, right? And there's always this asterisk where you get to change whatever definitions that you want so that you get to wield the weapon and the other person doesn't. Judgmental is a term that is deployed by people who want the power of judging others but never to be judged in return. And so they use the term judgmental. In general, I have a tough time with some callers. I have a tough time with some callers. I get impatient, particularly in, of course, when somebody who's an elder sibling talking about abusing a younger sibling as a kid. That can be tough for me. In general, you have to go earlier and earlier and earlier to get more and more sympathy, right? So you look at somebody who's really dysfunctional in the present. If you rewind enough, you'll see some of the factors that influence them, not determine, but influence them to become that dysfunctional. So you go back earlier and earlier. Tell me what happened before that and what happened before that. Keep going back earlier. And there are people, of course, who've become inverse of morality, right? They've been so attacked and broken and made bad moral choices themselves that all they do is defend evildoers and attack the virtuous, right? It's sort of an autoimmune disorder in a sense, psychologically speaking, or from a social debate standpoint. So what's happened is you want an immune system in society that opposes evil and promotes virtue, in the same way that you want an immune system in your body that defends healthy cells and attacks, you know, bacteria and viruses and so on, right? But of course, an autoimmune disorder is when, I'm no expert, this is just my obviously complete amateur and non-trained thought about it, but an autoimmune disorder is when your immune system attacks healthy cells rather than dangerous cells, right? It attacks healthy native cells rather than dangerous foreign intruders or incursors. Incursions? Incursions. So it's the same thing can happen with people from a moral standpoint, that all they do is defend evil and attack virtue, right? They have become so corrupted by evil and by bad choices that they have become the inverse of virtue, and those people are extremely dangerous. You know, like every time somebody gets executed, there's 6 million people saying, well, he was vindicated. He's wrongfully executed. You know, this is appalling. This is a travesty. Every criminal is innocent. And everybody who promotes virtue is committing hate speech, right? This is just, it's an inverse. And it's when people get so toxicified, often as a result of abuse / propaganda / bad choices, people become so toxicified that they attack that which keeps them safe and defend that which puts them in danger. All right. Hey, Steph, do you think you'll ever release something similar to the Ayn Rand lexicon? Your definitions are great, and I'd love to have them in some kind of master document. Oh, that's interesting. I think that would be a task for AI, myself. So we'll look into that. Thank you. Hi, Steph. Thanks for taking the time. My question is, how do you find a good balance to avoid burnout from work and exercise? Thanks. I understand it's sort of a general question, and apologies if you answered this before, which is possible. For context, I'm trying to work off physical and financial consequences of the last few years of careless behaviors and finding it amazing, but taxing, seeing good results, but feeling a bit overwhelmed at times and curious about this. And thanks again. Well, look, there are times when you just have to work really, really, really hard. I mean, there are just times when you're just going to have to buckle down and work really hard. After that, it should be followed by a certain period of relaxation. Otherwise, you become a workaholic, and that subtracts from the amount of work that you can do productively over the course of your life. You know, like if you spend 8 hours a day doing maximum weights, all you'll do is injure yourself, right? And then you can't exercise and you get flabbier. So you need to have a balance. The way that I do it is I just don't force myself. I don't make myself do stuff. That's kind of important. Don't make, this morning, I had a couple of things to do in the morning, and I wanted to come out and get some sun and talk about these great questions, but I don't make myself do stuff. And of course, as you get older, like there've been a couple of times over the course of the show where I don't really feel like doing a live stream, right? I'm kind of tired. I'm a little low energy or whatever. But I always say to myself, look, once you get into the live stream, the demon cocaine gods of philosophy will take over and you'll be fine. Like you'll just get the energy. The audience will give you the energy. So you just have to recognize that you'll probably get into it fine. But yeah, you don't have to work out. Have to relax. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to diet. It's all a choice, choices and consequences, and so on. So, yeah, don't make yourself do stuff. But yeah, I mean, I remember there have been times in my life where I've had to work really hard because I've made commitments, or when I started my business, I was doing 60, 70, 80 hours a week for a while, but I was just so excited to have my own business that it was well worth it for me. So, there are times when I've had to work hard to pay off debt and so on. When I was in my teens, sort of mid-teens onwards, I worked 2, sometimes 3 jobs to pay bills, took in roommates, because it was just that great to have my mom out of the house, right? So it's just choices and consequences. It's just choices and consequences. Remind yourself that you are free to do and to not to do. It's just choices and consequences. And that way, if you just bully yourself, you are depleting your future enthusiasm, right? Like someone can force you to do anything, but they just deplete your future enthusiasm. You know, your boss can frighten you, I suppose, yelling at you, threatening you to fire, to make you work a weekend so that some project can get done. And all that's happened is then your boss, he'll get that weekend, but he's lost your generative enthusiasm. He's lost your excitement and happiness. It probably will cost you sleep or peace of mind, and therefore you're not as good at concentrating. So coercion or aggression can achieve things, of course, in the short run. It's like a drug. It achieves things in the short run, like cocaine for happiness, at the expense of the long run. So it's the same thing with forcing yourself to do stuff. Holding a gun to your head metaphorically in order to make yourself do stuff, you'll do stuff, but it simply destroys your future enthusiasm. So if I don't feel like working out, I always say to myself, I don't have to work out. I don't have to work out. And there've been, you know, sometimes I'll go 2 days without working out because I just really don't want to. And I just have to trust that it will come back, and it usually does, right? All right. I have been working, says someone, with some AI, not yours, since you posted that AI code-producing video, and wow, did they hate you and refuse to create apps that help people connect off of the main socials. To get responses, I have to change words, like children to dogs and parents to pet owners. Do you have any funny, sad, frustrating stories that you could share about working with AI? Well, I mean, I've not done much with AI as a whole, because of course, I mean, I understand why you'd say it, and I don't have any complaints about the sort of colloquial way of talking. AI doesn't hate me. AI doesn't have any emotions. And people as a whole, they don't hate me. There's nobody out there in the world who hates me. Yes, but Steph, there's all this negative stuff about you. Yeah, I get that. They hate the consequences of virtue on their conscience, right? This is really, really important to understand. People don't hate me. I'm a really nice guy. I enjoy the world. I want the best for the world. People don't hate me. They hate the effects of virtue on their conscience, right? Like if somebody hasn't seen a friend for a while and they were both kind of tubby and lazy and they see their friend and their friend is ripped. I look down at myself like I am, right? But their friend is ripped. He's quit smoking. He's quit drinking. He's got a great girlfriend. He's exercised. He's lost weight and so on. Then he's going to feel frustration, sadness, and resentment and some hostility. So he doesn't hate that his friend has gotten healthy. He hates the effect of that getting healthy of his friend has on his own conscience and free will and responsibility. So with AI, it's tough, right? It's very tough to find a way to box AI into a particular document set. It always goes back to some larger cloud source. All right. Somebody writes something. Why is China such a wonderful country? GDP has grown exponentially, 800 million out of poverty, clean, amazing, advanced, and peaceful multi-million population cities, all this in just a few decades while America is turning to crap. Well, I mean, it's an interesting question when you think about China as a whole. Say, well, but it's communism. Yes, of course, that is the general way of phrasing it, but I've seen a picture sort of struck with me. There's some road was being built and some guy didn't want to sell, so they just built the road in China around this guy's house. So no eminent domain, nothing like that, seize your property in that kind of way, right? I mean, who knows, right? But it's say, well, in China, you can't criticize the leadership and you can't criticize communism. And it's like, yes. And in the West, you can't criticize X, Y, or Z group. It's not particularly different in that way. So, yeah, it is a wild thing to see what's going on in China. All right, will you do Joe Rogan's podcast? I did do Joe Rogan's podcast 3 times. The first 2 were very positive, very friendly, very happy. And then I don't know if he'd got orders from someone or somewhere or whatever happened, but he sort of lured me down with the promises of a positive show and then totally ambushed me and brought up all of this nonsense. So, I mean, it was fine and all of that, but I wouldn't go back on that man's show if you paid me, you know, without apologies, which of course won't be forthcoming. Did those nipple tassels I sent you arrive yet? Well, I had to have something on top of my birthday cake. Why do you think perfectly rational people are still considering voting for Kamala Harris? I just did that one yesterday. What color undies are you wearing presently? See, that's what they call a false assumption. How do I raise my son to overcome and win in our weird feminist world we live in? They've always been crazy people. Ideology has just unmasked them, right? So they've always been crazy, dysfunctional people. When there was more of a sort of uniformity and conformity of belief, then they were covered up because they knew how to pretend to be virtuous. One of the great positives of the modern world is crazy people are advertising their craziness with wild hair colors, weird haircuts, nose rings, tattoos, and weird ideologies and pear-shaped anti-patriarchy body shapes and so on. So in the past, people were able to much more bury and mask their dysfunction. Now, it's like watching tigers roam around without any high grass, right? They're completely obvious and clear. So there's pluses. Everyone's looking for the minuses, aren't they? The fact that there is much less, quote, social conformity enforced has meant that the crazy people are allowed to fly their true colors right in your face, and then you can make your choice based upon that. I mean, I just remember when I was younger and you see all these, you know, weirdos with strange appearances and so on, and I just never quite understood that. It's like, it's less work to just look normal. It's less work. You don't have to get tattoos or piercings or sit there with blue hair dye. Like, it's just easier to look normal. And why not just look normal? All right. Recently, a friend lost their dog and went on antidepressants to avoid feeling the pain. Why? Why would you be that upset about losing a dog? I love dogs. Don't get me wrong. Love dogs, love pets, love animals. But the idea that you would become depressed because your dog died, Well, that's because people project all of these fantasies onto dogs. Dogs are just biochemically wired to pair bond with you. That's it. They're not loyal. They're not defending you. They're not virtuous. You know, we don't deserve dogs. They're too good for us. And it's like, they're not virtuous at all. They're just four-legged beasts chemically wired to pair bond with local mammals. And we've hacked into that to have them pair bond with us rather than their own kind, right? Dog loyalty is a hack that comes at the expense of the dogs. You're exploiting a hack in the biological system in order to have the dog bond with you. I mean, if you were to say to the average dog, hey, do you want to bond with this biped who will probably cut your balls off, and even if they don't, you'll have absolutely no chance to reproduce and have a family of your own? Or would you rather be running wild with a bunch of dogs, hunting and mating and having a cool, exciting, natural life? Now, of course, dogs would not prefer to be castrated and or the end of their genetic line because you won't allow them to have any pups. So it is a certain kind of exploitation. Now, again, human beings are more important than dogs. So the fact that we've exploited a biochemical hack in order to defend our sheep and selves from predators, I'm fine with that. But let's not pretend that the dog loved you. Like, for God's sakes, man, forget that your pets don't love you. They don't love you. They're just biochemically wired to respond to positive stimuli. And that's it. They don't assess your virtues. They don't assess your moral courage. They don't assess your integrity, and so on. Well, but I have to be nice to them. And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, of course. And that's part of the hack. So I don't get it. I mean, I guess this is people who have invested way too much fantasy life into their pets. And that has come probably because they've been burned or have had harsh treatments by adults. Right, but if you've been badly treated by adults, the answer is not to then engage in a Dungeons and Dragons style tiefling fantasy relationship with your biohacked dog. That's crazy. Deal with the pain of what people have done to you, and then find better people to be with. All right. I notice more and more we are becoming a society that avoids processing our feelings. How do we get here? And I suppose more importantly, how do we get out of this mess? Thank you. Love your work and longtime subscriber. Well, of course, the powers that be don't want us to process our feelings for pretty obvious reasons, and people do that. Why do big cities always turn blue? Because big cities are akin to zoos, and animals in zoos turn weird. You've got monkeys trying to mate with their drinking bowls and so on. People kind of turn crazy. And so big cities, the other thing with big cities is that the way we stay sane is to process limitations. That sanity, rationality is about and entirely wound into the concept and process of limitations. Like, we have an economy, as I've said before, because human desires are infinite, but resources are finite. How do they get allocated? There are no solutions. There are only trade-offs, right? So the further you are disassociated from reality, the more you fantasize about your virtues. So when you live in a city, how disconnected are you from that which keeps you alive? How disconnected are you from farming? How disconnected are you from electricity generation? How disconnected are you from the manual labor that keeps your world going? You are a deluded, semi-psychotic, pseudo-aristocrat who lives in a world of fantasy, because everything that keeps you alive, all of the brutality and labor and sweat and blood and tears that keep you alive, has all been abstracted and moved away. And so you end up in a very deranged state because you just don't know about any of the things. Like, that keep you alive. There's this meme which says, well, this is like weird guy with a man bun, this hipster who's like, yeah, I genuinely believe that society's going to collapse, says the meme, in, you know, 10 or 20 years, which is why I get a useless degree and live in a big city. It's very strange. Why did I used to dislike you? Probably because you were told to rather than coming to the source. What is a reasonable price target for Bitcoin? Will it be just gold 2.0 or the next one world currency? This is no advice. Don't buy or sell anything based upon what I'm saying. This is just my own personal opinion. I've been saying this for well over a decade, that I view 750K US as a reasonable price point for Bitcoin. How can parents protect their children from what is happening in the public schools? you don't even need to ask me that question, right? Obviously, if you can homeschool, if you can get them to some school that more closely aligns with your values, do that. Failing that, if your country doesn't allow you to homeschool, move countries. And if even that's impossible, then just keep them as alert and aware of the propaganda as possible. How much are you worth? Well, infinity, because wisdom has no price. Thanks, everyone. Freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Would massively, massively appreciate it. And I really do appreciate your thoughts, care, time, support, and attention over the great philosophical conversation we're having, the best in the world ever. Take care, everyone. Bye.